Joining me over the phone, I've got Matt Wheeler, a professor in the Department of Animal Sciences with the University of Illinois, talking all about one of his latest research projects, including milk in the mammary gland, when he helped create the first insulin-producing cow. Matt, I'm going to have you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. So I'm a professor at the University of Illinois. I've been at Illinois, be 35 years in the fall. I'm a developmental biologist by training. I work with embryo transfer in livestock. And initially when I went to Illinois in swine, my training was in cattle from my PhD at Colorado State University. And so we've been working the last, 30 plus years to hopefully improve lactation and health in farm livestock. And initially we produced lines of pigs that produced more milk when we were studying the Chinese Meishan pig in the early 90s. I've continued with colleagues around the world, and I had a visiting scientist, Dr. Paulo Manzani from Brazil, came in 2013 and 14, and he spent 6 months with me. And he had some DNA fragments we call constructs that he produced, and he wanted to test them in our cell system to see if they would express in milk. And so that's what we did, and that's how we got to where we are today.
And it's really cool what you can do when it comes to the mammary glands of these animals. I know I've seen studies with spider silk and goats, and now you've got insulin with cows.
Yeah, so what most people don't, really give credit to the mammary gland for, it's actually a protein factory to make protein for offspring, be it, human infants or cows or pigs or sheep or goats. And it's designed to make, gram quantities of protein every day. And if you think about a Holstein dairy cow that makes, 10 gallons a day, of that, 5.5% or 6% is protein. So that's a significant amount of protein she produces. And so we have been using that mammary system to basically all the major mammary proteins are, the genes are known and the sequence is known. And so we basically just used that, one of those mammary specific promoters, to actually target different, proteins for nutrition, for increasing milk production, and in this case, for biopharmaceuticals in the milk.
So you helped develop the first transgenetic cow to produce this human insulin in the milk. What does transgenetic mean for this?
So what it is actually, the word is transgenic. Basically, it's a term that was coined in the mid-70s, and it basically just describes an organism where we've transferred a gene, okay? So that's where the word comes from. Transgene is for the root words transfer gene. And basically the technology is, and we've used it in bacteria for a number of years. They've used it in mice to study human disease. As you said, they've used it to produce manufacturing proteins like, or proteins for manufacturing like spider silk. There's a company that makes human antibodies against botulism and anthrax that's used by the U.S. military to protect our soldiers before they go into conflict. And so there's a lot of examples of this technology in everything from mice to, in this case, cattle. So, and pretty much everything in between, rats, rabbits, sheep, goats. And that's originally what the clone sheep Dolly was designed for. Those studies were done to actually determine whether they could multiply a herd of sheep that the Roslin Institute had that had a protein for treating emphysema. And in doing the mathematics, if they did conventional breeding, it would have taken them 11 years to get enough animals. But by nuclear transfer, they could actually accelerate that process. And so Dolly was actually part of a bigger scheme of actually introducing things into the mammary gland and letting livestock animals produce them. And so one of the examples is human blood clotting factor 8 and human blood clotting factor 9. And so that was introduced back in the late 80s, early 90s, and to help treat hemophiliac patients, because, you know, the at the time, the clotting factors were derived from human blood, and a lot of patients were infected with the HIV virus by getting those blood products to control blood clotting. So, you know, I tell my students that if you do this in livestock, cows and sheep and goats don't get AIDS. Okay, so you can actually produce a safe pharmaceutical protein for human consumption, and it's a really good system. They, you know, we calculated it out to make enough blood clotting factor at the time, again in the mid 90s, for the whole world, it would take 2 good Illinois Holstein cows to produce all the protein for all the patients in the world. So some of these proteins, you don't need a lot of it. And if anybody, you know, when you watch television, you see all these new monoclonal antibodies and biopharmaceuticals that are produced in cell systems. Well, they can as easily be produced in a high health status herd of cows. So I think there's a lot of potential, especially with the new gene editing tools. I think you're going to see more and more of these kinds of things happen, because it's actually much more efficient to do it this way than it is to have a big bioreactor with cells and try to isolate the protein. So,
and looking at this article, one of the roadblocks that your team kind of came upon was the failed attempt to impregnate using artificial insemination techniques and how you went around it. So I guess you talked about the cloning process and bringing that for maybe the next generation, but like, how are we able to go about this? And do we think it's just because of this new process that we weren't able to get the cow bred?
Well, so we don't believe that the insulin in the milk has anything to do with the cow's lack of fertility. She basically did not mature very well, and they kind of pushed her a little bit, and they bred her too early. And you know, my analysis is that if we did this again and we let the calf, because people get anxious, right, when you do something like this, because the only way you can tell she's producing the protein is when she lactates. So if you produce an animal, I mean, if you and I started today, it'd be 9 months till the calf's born, 12 more months after the calf's born, and you know, in tropical conditions, it could be as much as 24 months till they reach puberty, and you can breed them, and then it's 9 more months. So it could be anywhere between 30 and 40 months, and you keep an animal around, and you don't know she's actually producing. So you know, there's ways to shortcut that and induce them to, you know, be pregnant, or induce them to lactate, which we did in this case. And I think that's the problem. If we just let nature take its course and waited the time required. And so if we do this again, that's what we would do. I don't think it has anything to do with insulin in the milk, because one of the things that people don't really appreciate is once milk is secreted into the mammary gland, it's technically outside of the body, all right? I mean, it's still in the mammary gland, but it's outside the blood barrier. And so anything that you put into milk can't go backwards, back into the animal. So the insulin and proinsulin that was produced did not affect the physiology of the cow. It was a management issue. And I think we can fix the management issue.
Which that definitely makes sense, especially because you want to wait longer for the cow before breeding. But in that case, the first one, you can get excited. I can see that one.
And I've been doing this long enough that, you know, I get excited too, but I also know you have to be patient, or you run into a situation like this. So if you're going to do these kind of things, and we knew the construct was going to work from the cell work previously. So, but people got excited and anxious and wanted to like push the envelope a little bit. And this is an example of why you shouldn't do that.
Well, Matt, now that you've gotten the results that you have, you've talked about maybe doing this again with another animal, being a little more patient to maybe get more of that milk output from the animal. But what are the implications that you hope comes from this study?
Well, I think it's a good proof of concept that we can make a very important medical protein in the transgenic livestock. And, you know, as it says in the article, the number of diabetics around the world and the cost of insulin, you know, has kind of gone up and down. And fortunately, you know, the U.S. government has, you know, made contracts to stabilize the price. But at one point, the price of insulin had increased 600%, right, which is just not tenable for a lot of, you know, patients that are, you know, on fixed income. So I'm hoping that, you know, these kinds of studies will allow us to make low-cost, high-quality biopharmaceuticals for patients that need them, but also make them affordable. And so those of us that are in agriculture, you know, when we signed up to be an ag, we signed up to make high-quality food at, you know, at low cost, very efficiently. And this is just another way to help the human, you know, medical community and mankind in general by using our good production livestock. And I think, you know, if we did this again, I'd probably use a good Illinois Holstein to do this whole process.
Well, Matt, is there anything else you want to add today?
Nope, I think that's it. I appreciate you contacting me and allowing me to do this over the phone, and because at the moment, like I told you, I'm in Tanzania on another milk-related dairy project. So,
well, I can't wait to hear about what comes from this study and other future projects that you have going on.
I appreciate you. Your time, and thank you for having me.
That's Matt Wheeler, a professor in the Department of Animal Science at the University of Illinois, talking all about his study and project creating the first insulin-producing cow on AM 1330 FM 95.7 WRAM.